I want to read two passages from Luke's Gospel, both very well known. Luke 15, which in my Bible is page 1248. Luke 15. And all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And he spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing, and being come to get the house, calls together the friends and the neighbours, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' I say unto you that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner, more than for 99 righteous, or who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 drachmas, if she lose 1 drachma, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek carefully till she find it? And having found it, she calls together the friends and neighbours, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the drachma which I had lost.' Thus I say unto you, there is joy before the angels of God for one repenting sinner." And then just a few chapters on in chapter 19, Luke 19, that's page 1253. "And he entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus. And he was chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the crowd, because he was little in stature. And running on before, he got up into a sycamore that he might see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when he came up to the place, Jesus looked up and saw him, and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him with joy. And all murmured when they saw it, saying, 'He has turned in to lodge with a sinful man.' But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I return him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, inasmuch as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.'" You'll see two common words that run through these passages of Scripture. One is lost and the other is seeking. The other day, Ashley and I went to Hampton Court. I'd been before, but he'd never been before. But we did all the usual things and went through all the usual rooms. And then, of course, we had to do the maze, didn't we? And you can guess what happened. We got lost. We went round and round in circles. And actually, at one point, I was getting a bit worried. And then I saw a sign through the hedges saying, "Way out." And that reminded me of these. Because you and I, as sinners, are lost. When I was a younger man, I used to think that if you didn't believe the glad tidings and you died, then you would be lost. But actually, the fact of the matter is that you're lost already. If you haven't come to the Lord Jesus as a sinner to receive salvation, then in your sins, in your natural state, you are already lost because of the great matter of sin and man's rebellion against God himself. You are a lost creature. But the wonderful news in the gospel, just like that maze, is that there is a way out. And tonight, this is the purpose of the preaching, is to tell you that although you are lost in sin, there is a remedy and there is a way out. And the way out is usually outside of yourself. When it is, in life, I mean, but it certainly is as regards your soul. You won't find the answer within. The answer is outside. And my job tonight as the preacher is to point to you to the way out, and that's Jesus himself. I've read these scriptures, which are very well known. One is a shepherd, and he's just lost one of 100. You know, you could say, well, why did he bother? He's got 99 left. But, you know, one sheep was important to that shepherd. And you are important to God. You know, very often people that commit suicide, they say, I'm worthless. Nobody cares about me. I can tell you tonight, dear friend, that God cares about you. And not only does he care about you, he's doing something actively. He's seeking you. We spoke about conscience this afternoon. When the moment man had sinned, you know, God came into the situation, didn't he? And he said, where art thou? He was seeking right at the beginning. And he's still seeking man tonight. What a wonderful, merciful God we have to deal with. Maybe tonight, dear friend, he's seeking you. Because you matter to God. Do you know that? Men, even great men, sometimes have a very poor valuation of other people. I was reading something about Hitler. You think of those terrible things that happened. 6 million Jews. Worthless. He didn't care about them. Dear friend, tonight I can say God cares for you. You're valuable. You were created in his image. But you fell into sin. We're born in sin. We can't help it. We sin because we're sinners. That sounds obvious. We're born in sin. It's our nature. But there comes a point when we choose to sin. See, when a baby is born, you might say it's innocent. Well, no, it's not. It's born in sin. But there comes a moment when it grows up that it chooses to sin. Because that is our rebellious heart against God. And yet, despite that, dear friend, he's seeking you. He wants you for himself. Why were you born? A lot of people say, don't they? And I believe in this very moment in history that a lot of young people especially are saying, why are we here? What's the purpose of it all? God has a purpose for you. It says in Revelation that for thy pleasure we were created. You'll never get full satisfaction, dear friend, unless you realise that you were born to serve and worship God. But you can't do that in your sins, because God cannot have sin in his presence. He's holy and righteous and just, but he's also loving and gracious and kind. You say, how can those two things ever marry up? The answer is you look at the cross. That's where they marry up. So we have the shepherd with the one sheep. It's in the wilderness. You might say it's gone out into the world. Seems almost impossible to get back. But you know, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Doesn't matter how far you've gone into the wilderness, dear friend, you're not beyond the grace of God. You're not beyond the mercy of God. He cares for you. He's searching and he's seeking. Interesting, it says he'll find it if he can. No, it says until he find it. That is, that speaks to me of the intent and the heart of God, until he find it. Maybe you've heard the gospel many times. He'll carry on, he'll keep on speaking to you until he finds you. That's the world. But then there's this other story about in the house. There's the 10 drachmas. I'm not sure. I'm sure it's been applied many ways, but I'm just contrasting with the wilderness. Here is the house. It's a smaller, more intimate situation. Could be like the local church. Maybe you come to the meetings, you come to church, but you're still lost. But God's attitude is still the same. He searches, the woman here searches until she finds it. Dear friend, it doesn't matter if you're right out, as you might say, the biggest sinner of them all, or it doesn't matter if you're in the sphere and the atmosphere of God's people, you can still be lost. But the wonderful thing is that you're not beyond God's grace, and he may search you and seek until he finds it. What joy there is, you know, in sinners that repent. Repentance comes in here because it's a vital part of the glad tidings. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever repented? What does repentance mean? It means saying you're sorry, but it means more than that. It means that God is totally right and I'm totally wrong. And as in the next parable, which I didn't read, the young man turned round. And that's involved in repentance too. He changed his direction. And you need to do that if you're to repent. And there needs to be some evidence of your repentance, which we will see in the next passage. Dear friends, I leave that with you tonight. If you're lost, there is hope for you. The hymn says, the hopeless case thou lovest to meet. There are cases in the world which seem almost impossible to fix. Some people have so many problems, and yet you know nothing is impossible with God. And he's maybe seeking you tonight. Will you respond to him? I read in Luke 19, this is an interesting story. I can identify it because I'm small in stature as well. But he was curious about Jesus. I wonder why you're here tonight. Are you curious? Or is it more than that? Do you want to be blessed? I'm impressed with the zeal of this little man. He was so interested that he climbed the tree, didn't he? I don't know what effort you've made to come here tonight. But if you've made the effort, God will reward you for it. Thank God you're here. There's lots of people here. The crowd was in the way, but he wasn't put off, was he? Don't let anything put you off coming to Jesus. The crowd would try and put you off. The world would try and put you off. The devil would try and put you off. Don't be put off in coming to Jesus tonight. He climbed the tree, for he was going to pass that way. Maybe tonight Jesus is passing this way. He may not pass this way tomorrow. He may not pass this way next Sunday. Because Jesus may have come for his own. But today, right now, on the 15th of February 2026, Jesus is passing by. But more than that, he stopped and looked up. Isn't that amazing? Here's the creator of the universe. We must never forget, dear friends, who Jesus is. He's not just a miracle worker, not just a prophet, not just a priest, not just a king, not just a wonderful teacher. He's God. He's the creator, your creator and mine. And yet he stopped for one man. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? And tonight, dear friend, if Jesus is passing by, he'll stop for you. Yes, Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. But you know, Jesus was seeking him before ever Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. And he stopped. And he spoke to him. And tonight, dear friend, it may be that Zacchaeus, that Jesus will speak directly to you. Yes, we all hear the gospel, but I've heard it many times where someone says, I heard the Lord speaking to me. The gospel is very individual. How wonderful that this blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, for the moment he forgot the crowds, he concentrated on one person. Maybe tonight, dear friend, he's concentrating on you. He said, come down. How often we've heard from this desk, dear friend, come to Jesus. Zacchaeus came down. You know, if you hear the Lord calling you, are you willing to obey? Will you climb down? You know, we have lofty thoughts. Maybe Zacchaeus, he thought he was okay. He just wanted to see who this person was, but, you know, he was doing fine. No, he came down. He came down to meet Jesus. I'd say to you tonight, come down and meet Jesus. Have to do with him. Why? Because Jesus is seeking you. And more than that, he says, today I must remain in thy house. He didn't say to Zacchaeus, I'll book up some time to see you when it's convenient. He said, today. Dear friend, it's a very solemn matter, the gospel. It's not for tomorrow or next week, it's for today. Paul says today is the day of salvation. Today. Jesus may be speaking to you. Do you feel your lost condition? One who's a sinner? It's interesting that Zacchaeus, we read in chapter 15 that the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming to hear him. But Zacchaeus, it says, was a chief tax gatherer. Tax gatherers weren't thought of very highly. Probably still aren't. But he was a sinner. And so are you. And so am I. We're lost. Apart from the gospel, apart from God's work, apart from God sending his Son, we would be lost forever. But the news of the gospel is that, as Jesus himself says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. That certainly was addressed to Zacchaeus, but in wonderful grace, 2,000 years later, it applies to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
How can we be found? I think John Newton had an answer, didn't he? He was converted by God's grace. He realised that God sent his beloved son to die on the cross. That place, as I've already referred to, where God's righteousness and God's grace meet. God is light and God is love. Those two almost incompatible things are met at the cross. And John Newton realised, didn't he, that although he was lost, he could be found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Can everyone in this room tonight say or sing those words? It is amazing grace, because it shows the heart of God that he was willing to send his own son, that son that had pleased him, that had done everything perfectly. He was pleased to send him to suffer and die, not only at the hands of man, but at the hands of God. You say Jesus suffered at the hands of God? Yes. It's God's wrath poured out completely on the head of Jesus. I don't understand those 3 hours of darkness. We never will. But we praise God that it happened. That our sins and the whole of the principle of sin was put on Jesus' head. And God's wrath for sin was totally exhausted. And so that Jesus could say, it is finished. Those three words, dear friend, assure you that you can have full salvation and that you can be found. It is finished. What was finished? The work that God gave Jesus to do. And that work was that he became sin that we might have righteousness. We don't deserve it. What in my life have I done to deserve it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I wonder if it's sweet to you, dear friend. Zacchaeus, I was saying about evidence of repentance. His estate makes this statement about repaying. His heart was changed. And it's a wonderful end to the story. He says, salvation has come to this house. I wonder if salvation has come to your house. And then he says, he summarizes it all with this marvelous statement, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that. Why did Jesus come? There are many reasons, but I think this is a principal one and a very important one, that he has come to seek and to save. He may be tonight seeking you. Dear friends, have to do with Jesus. If you're curious, come down from the tree and meet Jesus. Repent of your sins. Put your faith in him as the blessed Saviour. And you'll be found forever. I might just add, you can't be lost today and saved today and lost tomorrow. There aren't some that believe that. I don't see that in my Bible. If you're saying that, it's a detriment to the work of Jesus. When he said it is finished, it was finished. And that means the moment you put your trust in him and what he did, you're saved forever. Maybe you've done that many years ago. Maybe you're not as bright as you used to be. Well, you know, you can be restored. David in the Old Testament, he sinned after, he was a believer. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's no need to be an unhappy Christian tonight, dear friend. But thank God for all those that are found. May you be one of the found ones tonight as you look to Jesus, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. May it be so for his name's sake.
Amen.